This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, July 1st, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The 63rd Annual Opera in the Ozarks runs through July 19th at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs. This festival of fully produced operas is an educational program for singers pursuing a career in the world of opera. The 2013 productions include Elixir of Love, Madama Butterfly, and Pirates of Penzance. Tickets and more information available at opera.org. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the ill-fated effort to have the White River watershed designated as a national blueway. It would have been just the second river to have that designation. Plus, Stuart Towns talks to Christina Thomas about his book, Enduring Legacy, Rhetoric and Ritual of the Lost Cause. He says the oratory of Confederate veterans in the years after the Civil War ended has influenced much of the South's perspective since. But first, State Treasurer Charles Robinson is working to reshape his office's policies after former Treasurer Martha Schaffner resigned, facing charges of extortion. Robinson, a former legislative auditor, says he has many changes on his agenda, including employee cross-training, internal control, and separation of duties. In an interview with Talk Business Arkansas, Robinson said that his month in office has been beneficial thanks to feedback he's received from office employees.
And it took about 2 weeks to make the rounds and spend plenty of time. And I'd like to point out, there were some individuals in the Treasury's office made some very informative comments that I think is things that we need to work on. And that, I think we've already got that kind of relationship going, and it was really a good thing to sit down and talk.
Robinson also plans to bring in an outside consulting group next month to help things move forward. Fiscal year 2014 begins today with a new Arkansas budget going into effect. In his weekly radio address, Governor Mike Beebe said the budget includes several changes.
This year, we'll see added funding for key state services, some targeted tax relief, and thanks to voters, a new revenue stream for our highways. What has not changed is keeping education our top priority. We've again allocated more money toward educational adequacy to continue furthering improvements in our K-12 schools.
Governor Beebe says there is also increased funding for Medicaid and higher education. In this new fiscal year, economist John Shelnut with the Department of Finance and Administration says gross general revenue is not expected to grow as much as it did in the previous year.
Part of that is the expectation that individual income tax is going to slow down compared to the just completed year. And that's recognizing that in 2013, taxpayers were anticipating income tax rates going higher at the federal level and shifting income as best they could into tax year 2012.
Tomorrow, Shelnut says the state will release its overall report for fiscal year 2013, which will show how much additional surplus money will be added to Arkansas's General Improvement Fund. Today is the deadline for Arkansans to comment on the recent voter ID law through the Secretary of State's office. The legislation was put into effect earlier this year and requires Arkansas voters to present a photo identification at the time of voting. Secretary of State spokesman Alex Reed says last week's Supreme Court decision regarding the Voting Rights Act does not affect the existence or rules of the ID law.
There were about 9 states that were known as quote-unquote preclearance states, where any time that they wanted to change something in voting procedure, they had to get it cleared through the Department of Justice. And we were not one of those states, so we're not affected by that.
Voter ID rules and public comment information can be found at sos.arkansas.gov. Though he has not announced his bid to run for the U.S. Senate, some in the political realm seem to think that Arkansas's 4th District Congressman Tom Cotton is angling toward challenging Mark Pryor for his reelection to the Senate. Speaking in a political roundtable yesterday with Roby Brock of Talk Business Arkansas, State Senator Jason Rapert, a Republican from Conway, says he thinks Cotton is heading toward a Senate race.
The fact of the matter is the winds are against Mark Pryor in this race. He's been on the wrong side of the issues as it relates to the opinions of the Arkansas people. Now, I respect him and the legacy of his family and actually know Mark, and I believe he's a nice person. I believe if he could, he'd switch parties, but he's in a situation he can't.
While Republicans may see Cotton as a true challenger to the incumbent Senator Pryor, some Democrats seem to think differently. Max Brantley, editor of the Arkansas Times, was also part of the roundtable discussion. He says he thinks that Congressman Cotton's extreme views make him an ideal candidate to oppose Pryor.
Here's a guy who's voted against disaster aid. He's voted against the farm bill. He's voted against food stamps. He wants to go to war against anybody that rattles a saber out there. He's strange. He has a weird way about him. He came back to Arkansas after years away as a consultant.
Although he hasn't declared his intentions to run for Senate, Max Brantley says that $100,000 was raised just last week for Congressman Cotton. Benton County officials are beginning the process of considering construction of a new county courts building. The county has hired an architect and courthouse design consultant from Denver, Colorado, to conduct a feasibility study to replace the current courts building that was built in 1928. The feasibility study will take about 5 months and will look at a couple of sites downtown and one on Highway 102 near the county jail. Bob Clenard, Benton County judge, says the current facility is functionally obsolete. The layout puts plaintiffs, defendants, jurors, judges, and the general public in hallways and stairwells together, a safety concern that would be fixed with a modern layout in a new courts building.
Say the core of the building may be the courtrooms, and on one end of the building it's maybe two, three-story will be the judges and the prosecutors, and on the other end of the building would be the public, and everybody comes in a different entrance. You have different lobbies, you have different elevators and stairwells for each one of those areas. The only time that everyone is together is when they come together in the courtroom, and that's, of course, highly secure.
Because planning for a new courts building is just in the planning stages, actual cost of construction is unknown, as is the funding mechanism to aid such a project's construction. But the county judge says the design of a new courts building would have to focus on function rather than form.
You know, I'm for functional space, not Taj Mahal space. I mean, we don't need marble and all of the things that maybe they used to do in fancy courthouses. We need a nice building, but it needs to be functional more than it does fancy.
He says whatever type of courts facility the county eventually builds, it must be built with the idea of planning ahead for the future. He says the current courts facility was built with only one courtroom, but as the number of circuit judges in Benton County has grown to six, the building has been split into three courtrooms, and additional court space has been added in nearby buildings. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals closed out the month of June with two wins and a loss this weekend. Friday night, the Nats defeated the Midland Rockhounds 7-3. That meant they swept Midland in that three-game series. Then the Nats lost a 10-7 decision at home Saturday against the Frisco Rough Riders, but the Naturals made up for Saturday's loss yesterday with an 8-5 win over Frisco. The Naturals' six-game homestand concludes tonight at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s in northwest Arkansas. Not bad for the 1st of July. Lows around 60 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, slight chance of afternoon showers. Highs will be from 78 to 83 throughout the region. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows between 53 and 61.